Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I am very, very excited today to bring a guest on that I've actually followed for the last couple of years. He's built an amazing brand, Mr. Tyler Jack Harris, the man, the myth, the legend. How are you today, dude?
Dude, I'm incredible. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So I've followed you for a minute, like I was just saying. And so if you guys are listening to this, I highly encourage you to go check out this man's Instagram. He will show you how it's done. But tell everybody, man, that maybe doesn't know you. Who are you? How'd you get to where you are today?
Sure, man. I like to consider myself an ordinary guy, trying to do extraordinary things by being willing to put in the extra. And to me, that extra is the work. And my story really gets started about 4.5 years ago. I found myself in a low point, rock bottom, had gone through a marriage failure, had gone through a business failure, and was just really, really at a low point. Confidence was at an all-time low, and really had no idea where I was going to go from there. Had one of those, cliche moments of really taking ownership and understanding that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. It was all my fault. And the encouragement was that if I got myself into that mess, I could get myself out of it. Some mentors came into my life around that time, three guys. And to be honest, they saw more in me than I saw in myself at that time. And they began to pour into me, gave me an opportunity to come work with them in the insurance business. And I did that. I had to borrow the money to get started. I mean, I was flat broke in debt. And, the rest is history. Over the next 12 months, made over 300 grand. So went from being flat broke to 12 months later, made over $303,000 in income. 12 months later, over 450, 12 months later, over 650, then became one of the owners of the company. And now we've launched multiple businesses since then. And so this has all played out over the last 4.5 years. And I love that because I still remember exactly what it feels like, what it smells like, what it tastes like to be in that, space where I felt hopeless and I didn't know what I was going to do. And to be able to share with other people kind of how I got out of it and to hopefully be able to pay that forward for what those mentors did in my life by helping somebody else to some degree and change their own life.
Epic, dude. Epic. I love it. How has your story kind of played a role as you developed the brand over the last several years? How has that really taken you or has that played any part in, developing and using that authentic story, to grow in the insurance business? How has that played out?
So, probably a unique answer, but it hasn't helped it at all because I keep it completely separate. Okay. I don't monetize a single thing that I do online, a single thing that I do on social media. I've never asked a single person to buy something, sign up for something. I'm getting yelled at on a daily basis because I won't even ask people for their email address. but I don't ask for anything because I don't need anything from anybody else. It's simply my way of paying it forward and to give back. This whole idea of being blessed to be a blessing. I just completely have gone all in on that. I haven't sold a single life insurance policy because of the fact that I do anything on social media. I've actually turned down multiple people monthly that ask me about life insurance. And I just tell them that's just not something I want to get into. Because I wanted to be able to say that, look, I'm doing this on top of my career and I'm doing this not to monetize, that I'm doing this to give back and actually be able to back it up, and live in that truth. So, it's changed my life and it's made a huge impact on me and hopefully a huge impact on others, but it hasn't made us a penny. It's actually cost us, we'll probably spend 300 grand this year with all the stuff that we're doing on social media. And with the expectation and understanding that we won't get a penny from that. Mm. But it's really just following Gary Vaynerchuk's blueprint, providing value without asking for anything in return. And, he talks about whoever can hold their breath the longest wins. And, I've kind of got this weird idea that what if I never monetize? It means probably that my other businesses were doing extremely well if I never had to.
Yeah.
And I think it's a unique, you know, a unique perspective that you don't see a lot, especially, you know, coming from the phase that I'm in. You know, you see a lot of times these people that have massive success and then they go to start giving back. You don't see it a lot of times, somebody giving back while they're in it. But that's just, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We talk about scaling impact. Like that's our ROI, is the mm-hmm. impact that the content, hopefully will create in somebody's life.
Do you feel like there's a moment that takes place or a time or a shift that happens where you go from maybe being in a place like, I need to do this because it's going to make me money, making that shift. Like, I'm just going to do this because it's the right thing to do.
You know, I don't know, because I haven't ever done it to make money. I don't know. I think that it's probably more difficult to make that transition when you do it for money to begin with.
Yeah.
If you do it from the very beginning, just to provide value and just to be, you know, to serve other people, then I think the transition to go from that to a point where you're making money off of it is a lot more smoother transition than trying to take someone that's doing it selfishly for money that all of a sudden now wants to get altruistic. It's very blurry line there. And, you know, I don't have anything against anyone that monetizes on social media whatsoever. Like if that's what you do, if that's what somebody does with their business, like there's tremendous value in people paying for value. Like there's nothing wrong with that at all. I just personally believe that it's a whole lot more difficult and a whole lot more meaningful if I never have to ask someone for something in order to give them something.
Yeah. Is there a type of person or people, group of people that your content you feel is like meant to serve, is geared towards? Is there a specific message you hope that people grab?
I mean, I really try to be as universal as possible. You know, what I ultimately want is for, you know, everyone's either in a storm, coming out of one, or headed towards one. And having come out of a number of storms in my life, I want to prepare people that are headed towards one. And I want to give people hope that are in it. You know, because there's a blessing on the other side of every storm. And I've just learned that until you become the person that can receive it, you'll never get it. And that's the encouragement to someone that's going through that difficult time, is that, hey, this difficult time is literally an opportunity for you to grow. And if you do not participate, if you do not grow, then you will not receive the blessing that's on the other side of it. And the more difficult it is, the bigger the blessing is. And, you know, when someone's going through a difficult time, it's kind of like, hey, you know, screw you. You don't understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
I do understand, because I've been there. And, a lot of times you never realize it until hindsight. I just want to give people through my hindsight, a glimpse into what that could look like and to have a different perspective, as they're going through difficult times. And so that they can actually see those difficult times as preparing them for what's to come. And so that's everybody. Like yeah. everybody's going to face that. So, you know, we don't, you know, narrow it down to, you know, 18 to 40 year olds that are in this business. Like everybody goes through stuff.
Yeah.
And, I've had such incredible conversations with, you know, 55 year old women that are, you know, going through a struggle, and a 18 year old high school boy that's going through struggles. Like, the impact is the impact. And I don't care where that impact lands. I just hope that it stays there when it gets there.
Yeah. How did you get so good at telling yourself no?
Telling myself no?
Yeah. Because like for me, for example, just probably should add a little bit to that question. you know, I can almost guarantee you get new opportunities that fed to you daily that it sounds like you probably just turned down because you have your lane, right, with life insurance, and then you have your content, which is a big part of your life. So I'm sure you probably say no a lot. How do you measure opportunity cost versus opportunity gain? Like take us through some of that. This is a great mindset to have. So just curious.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of my favorite quotes is the main focus is to remain focused. And for me, again, doing all of this other stuff on social media on top of my career, you know, the majority of people look at that as, okay, any hour that I take away from my career that's making me money, I have to make up in what I'm doing over here on social media. Well, I'm saying I go all in on my career so that I can fund all this other stuff. And so that makes it to where I know very clearly whether an opportunity fits within those lanes or not. And I just don't, I don't have time or capacity to even contemplate anything else. Like if it's not within one of the areas that are bringing in revenue for us business-wise, and if it's not in an area where I feel like I can scale impact on the social media side, then I don't even really entertain it whatsoever. This idea that we can multitask is absurd. Nobody can multitask. And so I just try to stay laser focused in whatever lane that I'm in at that time. And if it doesn't fit within those lanes, I just, yeah, don't waste time. And that's through error, like through trial and error. Like I've tried plenty of things and got distracted and, you know, put my head up 6 months later and been like, crap, I've gotten way off track here, and had to ditch some of those things and get back to what I was focused on or should have been focused on. So you learn through experience. I, you know, it's not something that I knew from day one and was strong willed and didn't, because you know you can get crippled with opportunity. Every day somebody's asking me if I keep my options open and if I'm looking for other. You hear it all the time. You know, one question that I always like to ask when someone is pitching me an opportunity or an idea, I like to ask them, and this is something I learned from my mentor. I ask them, you know, is this going to be really difficult? Is this going to be really, really difficult to like make work and make successful? And usually people will respond to that in the way that they think that I'm asking it. And they'll be like, no, like this isn't going to take much time at all. And I'm like, well, then I'm not interested at all. Like the only things that I'm interested in are the things that are going to be extremely difficult, that are going to take a really long time, and that are going to take a tremendous amount of effort, because I can assure you that those are the only things that are actually going to turn into something.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Yeah. So how did you achieve a lot of your success? You've built a, you know, I think you said it was 200 agents across the country that you work with, right?
Yep.
How did you build that, man? What over the last few years kind of culminated to help you build a company like that? I know that a lot of the listeners that are listening to this right now, we're in real estate, mortgage, title insurance, real estate investors, those types of things. But the same rules that guide business, sales, marketing, those different types of things, they're the same from industry to industry to industry, business to business. So a lot of what Tyler's about to say right here will apply to you. But how did you build a business up to that type of volume?
So those mentors that came into my life, it's a great question. It is universal to every industry. Those mentors that came into my life, I often joke and say that if they had been in the rubber band business, that I'd be sitting here talking to you about this rubber band empire that we were building. but they were in the life insurance business, and they gave me an opportunity. And quite frankly, it was exactly what I needed, because my confidence level had been beaten down. Like my confidence was at an all-time low. I went through a failed marriage with a spouse that had an affair, and as a man, that will crush your confidence. I had went through a failed business, which crushed my confidence, and I had this fear of going all in again for fear that it would be taken away from me, because these things had been taken away from me. And so my confidence was an all-time low, and they put me into a scenario that was highly, or an environment that was highly transactional and very fast-paced. In the system that they had created for selling life insurance. And that's exactly what I needed to build my confidence up. I could go put some effort in and get a result immediately. Go put 2x effort, get 2x result, 3x effort, 3x result. And it became an addiction. How much effort can I insert into this machine, and how much results will it put out on the other side? And so that's exactly what I needed to build my confidence level back up. And it was an interesting time period for their business that they created, and they created the system that was absolutely incredible. And they were at a period, a time in their business where, you know, they had, you know, we probably had 30, 40 agents, but they needed someone to go out there and show people what was possible. You know, the Roger Bannister, the 4 minute mile. They just needed someone to go show people that it could be done. You know, when he broke that record, the 4 minute mile, it got broken again like a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
Now there's high school kids that break a 4 minute mile, which is crazy. And so they literally told me to just put my head down and just absolutely just work harder than anyone has ever worked in this business and show people what was possible as far as production, as far as number of policies that I could sell. And so, you know, I did that. I put my head down. I didn't even change my, you know, career or job on my personal profile on Facebook. Like I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. I just worked and spent over 200 nights in a hotel per year for 3 years in a row. I think the most was 238 nights in a hotel, working 14, 16, 18, sometimes 20 hours a day. Just disgusting, filthy freaking work. But what happened over that period of time is we went from, you know, being a company that had people that were doing, you know, in a really good week, 30 policies, really good week, you know, maybe have someone pop off with like 50 policies. Well, I came out and, you know, had the first week with 100 policies in a week, and then all of a sudden 150 policies in a week. And then I did 238 policies in 4 days one time. I did 297 policies in the 10-day period, and over 3.5 years sold over 8,000 life insurance policies one-on-one, face-to-face, which means I sat down with like 10,000 people in 3.5 years, face-to-face, one-on-one, and closed that many deals, which, you know, has never been done before. But it had nothing to do with any particular skills or talents or abilities that I had. Like, I wasn't born to sell life insurance. I hate talking about life insurance. Like, there's nothing fun about it, but I was willing to put in that work. Like, I was willing to just grind it out day after day after day. Even when I didn't feel like it, even when it was the last thing that I wanted to talk about, I was willing to go and make it happen. And lo and behold, our agency, people started doing the same. People started doing way more volume than they'd ever done before. And you know, it gave us an opportunity to grow as a company, grow in the number of agents that we had. Cause now we had this story like, hey, you know, look what this guy went and did. And maybe you could do that too. Come join us. And now we've got, you know, so many people that are making incredible livings. That to me is the best recruiting method ever, is having a success story that people can look at and say, well, if he did that, maybe I could at least do like half of that, you know, like maybe I could at least do like 70% of that and I'd be doing awesome. And so that was really what led to the success. It was being willing to follow the system. That's the other thing. I did not try to change anything. I did nothing my way. I just literally did every single thing they told me to do over and over and over and over and over. Didn't try to reinvent the wheel, just utilize the system that had already been created and just tried to exploit and see how much I could possibly produce out of it. And that's what got me to, you know, the point where I am now, and one of the owners now of the company. And we've launched a second agency since then, and we just launched a nonprofit, and you know, the rest is history. But you know, the only thing that works is work. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day. And to me, that's the greatest encouragement. Like the way I opened up today on this podcast by saying, I'm just an ordinary guy, you know, trying to do extraordinary things by doing the extra. The extra is just the work, like mm-hmm. working more than anyone, you know, working more than anybody in your company. And it doesn't matter if your skill set is lower, if you're less talented, if you're less, you know, naturally gifted in what you're doing. If you just work harder than everybody else, then you win. And that's what I love, because it's the ultimate thing that you can control on a daily basis.
Love it, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. What you're talking about, I'm going to back up just a second. You're talking about recruiting. You guys have built up a pretty big office. How have you guys gone about, you know, recruiting talent? How do you identify it? How do you recruit it? Do you train it? Do you build it? Do you go find the right talent? Like,
so we have an insanely thorough recruiting process once we get somebody that's interested. Into making sure that they are the exact right fit. Like, we don't want to bring somebody on board that doesn't have a high probability of succeeding, that doesn't do anybody any good. Yeah. We invest heavily in our agents, which is rare. You know, most life insurance companies, the training is basically like, hey, come on board, figure it out yourself. In 6 months, if you're still around, then we'll start, you know, helping you. Because it's kind of this churn and burn, and there are so many that fall off. We just don't believe in that. We believe in recruiting the right people on the front end, investing in them heavily, and setting them up for success. But there's a lot of stages in our recruiting process that really narrow down so that we know, kind of like a money ball scoring system on the probability of them being able to win or not in this business. But the way we recruit is through social media. So we run retargeted Facebook ads against people that follow my content. And I'm not even in some of the ads. A lot of times I'm like, I don't even know how people find it, but like we get, you know, there have been periods of time where we're getting, you know, 10 to 30 applications a day, from people that want to come work with us. And that's with me never talking about it. like even talking about it right now is probably more than I've ever talked about like that bridge between like what I do and others could do it with us. Like there's never been a video where I'm like, yeah, this is how I got from here to here. And if you want to do it too, click apply now. Like that's never happened ever. It's just kind of this, law of attraction, I think, of just casting this net out there of putting out content and trying to help people and be of value and knowing that good things will happen in return.
Love it. That's a great model. That is the Gary Vee model for sure.
Yeah.
Go out there and just be good to people and it'll come back in some form or fashion. You know, not all, I always like to tell people, not all wins in business are monetary. And, absolutely. You know, it's a great guiding rule to look at all the areas of business. And when you look at, go out there, you go out there to try to have this massive impact, you will never truly understand the impact that you have the opportunity to create. You won't understand the opportunity that you do have because not everybody will even tell you about it, right? You'll just know, or somebody, you know, in some third world country will say, I saw this and because of you, I did this. And you'll probably never know about that, which is pretty cool to sit back and kind of reminisce on for 30 seconds and go out there and keep putting out more content. But it's special when you run into people that have, in my opinion, I always call it making that mindset shift, because you get so many agents, loan officers, insurance agents, real estate investors that are stuck in this obscure place of, I need to do this so that I can make money. I need to do this so that I can benefit. I need to pray to God so that he can do something for me. I'm going to go ask the universe so the universe will push something back. You've got so many types of people that are out there just trying to bargain favors. It's unique and it's nice to run into somebody that just wants to just do.
Yeah, man. I mean, the universe will never be indebted to you. And I just know that, like when Gary talks about karma is practical, like these things are just true. You can't, when your intent is right and you're putting out value at this type of scale, like it's impossible for good things not to happen. Yeah. And that's again, like there's this fine line, like, you know, this whole blessed to be a blessing, like we're not a blessing in order to be blessed. But I feel as though I have been blessed in order to be a blessing. And that is what ends up blessing me even more. Like, it's just an understanding. Like, we don't give with the expectation return for something in return, but we just know that by giving, there will always be return. Mm-hmm. And the return will always be exponentially greater than what you're doing. And the thing is being patient and not really, like, people ask me all the time, they're like, where do you see all this social media stuff? Like, where do you see this going in 5 years? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, that's an awesome answer. I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea what it's going to turn into. I know it's going to be great. I was like, and I have a feeling, and I've said this a lot, that, that one of the reasons I don't put a label on it and say like 5 years now, this will happen, is because I'm pretty sure that anything I can fathom, like anything my imagination can create right now of what it'll be in 5 years, is so small compared to the reality of what it's going to be, that I don't want to put a label on it. Because with the law of attraction, like I believe in the law of attraction to a sick degree, to where I don't want to attract the wrong things. And I don't want to set something that I think could be possible in 5 years that's way low on the scale of what was really possible, and all of a sudden attract that in my life when I could have had this up here.
Yeah.
So I just literally just focus on every day trying to maximize the output, and just with the understanding that good things will happen.
Do you think that there was a moment whenever you're kind of in the low of lows, you know, back 4.5 years ago, that something kind of shed and you were just like, look, I'm cool with me now. Maybe, I mean, and I'm saying this because, you know, when I was 23, I went bankrupt legally, filed, had to sign, you know, showed up, did all the stuff, lost everything, relationships, family, finance, everything.
Yep.
And there was a moment in my life where I was like, call it grace, faith, you know, whatever we call it. And I was just like, I've been living the last several years of my life very perceptively, trying to achieve certain things for other people, nothing for myself, blah, 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 blah. There was this moment where I was like, shit, like it's all gone. Mm-hmm. I'm bankrupt. I'm broke. I'm this. It was kind of becoming comical. It's like, this is hilarious. Like, I'm good. I'm solid. Like, as I am in the worst form I've ever been in my entire life, I'm totally cool with me now.
Yep.
And that, I feel like, built a platform for me to go out over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And everything since that moment, I've just been internally grateful for. Just, that was a blessing. Like, that was
incredible. Yeah. I mean, 100%. Like, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And it's the greatest thing that had happened to you at 23 and not 53.
Right. Well, yeah, fact.
Like, that's what I love is, like, I wish, like, I've talked so many times about, like, I wish we could create, like, a college course or, like, some program where you just, like, come on board and we destroy your life in 90 days. And that way you can just build it back up from there. Because I'd rather it happen to you at 23 than 33, even. Because think about the amount of damage you would have done over those 10 years had that not already happened. Mm. And yeah, that was exactly the way I was. I was not as good of a human being before everything crashed in my world than I am now. And every single thing, like, for me, that moment was taking ownership and understanding that it's all my fault. It's all my fault. That I was exactly where I was supposed to be because of the decisions that I had made, the things that I had done, and that I had to take ownership of everything. And like, I would always get pushback, especially from guys when they would talk about my marriage. My wife had an affair for like a long time and I caught them multiple times and then it ultimately didn't work. And they're like, oh, that wasn't your fault, bro. Like, that was her fault. I'm like, well, I mean, like, think about it. If I had been the absolute best husband on earth, and had created the most incredible environment in our home, would that affair still have happened? Probably not, maybe, but I would beg to say no. And so that was my fault. Like, that was my fault. But I look back now, and that's the reason why I am the husband that I am today. And that's the reason that I'm the father that I am today. And that's the reason why my household and the environment that I live in now is the way it is because of going through that. And so it happened to me, not to me, and I'm grateful for it. Like, my business failures, I'm completely, you know, grateful for them. And I would not be the business person I am today if not having gone through them. So like, you know, when I hear people's stories now, like, the worse it got, the more excited it makes me. Because if they have made that switch, like you talked about, that transformation, if they've made that switch and they're on that upward trajectory, it's almost like the lower it went, the higher it can go.
Yeah.
Almost a direct correlation. When you hear people's stories, and to me, that's the greatest encouragement. Like, I don't care how bad it got. Like, I love that you have that story about being bankrupt. I wish I went bankrupt. Like, I wasn't far from it, but I wish I could say that on paper. Like, that's weird to envy that. like, I wish my story was even worse because I know that I would be able to use it for so much better. And so, yeah, it's a huge part of my life is that perspective on these things happening for me.
Love it, dude. I love it, man. Thank you so much for stopping by and sharing a bunch of wisdom here today, a bunch of fire. I hope that everybody picked up on a lot of the simple, practical advice, education, love, whatever you want to call it, that you can take and apply in your life to go off and do something better. And if there's one message I think that you should have got today is just, like, you know, become accountable and become responsible, take responsibility and give. Don't give to receive. Don't give to anything. Just give. Yep. Like, everything that you can, give. And you'd be blown away at how it comes back tenfold, millionfold, whatever it is, however it is. You got an amazing opportunity. We all have an amazing opportunity today. So, brother, hey, what is one way, if somebody wanted to follow you, connect with you, what's the best way for them to reach out? They've got questions. They want to hear more about your story, though, so on and so forth.
Yep. Got a brand new website just launched, tylerjackharris.com. And then everything on social is at Tyler Jack Harris. I respond to every single email, unless it's just something absurd. But I typically respond to every single DM, you know, Facebook message at Tyler Jack Harris and tylerjackharris.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome, man. Thank you so much again. I appreciate you stopping by the show. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll see you on the next episode of the Marketing Genius Podcast. Peace. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.